Today is Bible Sunday, and so I've chosen to bring a message about God's Word called the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. James chapter 1. Begin with verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. We have to do this. Everybody have a Bible this morning? We have to sing the song, the B-I-B-L-E. So grab your Bibles or grab the one in the pew there. Got your Bibles? You know how to do this? Remember when you were kids? Some of you... B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone. We say stand alone. You got to stand up, hold up your Bible up. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Start sitting down, all right? Should I show you how? I'll go back here. All right, let's sing. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. You look like you need to do it one more time because you weren't quite sure. All right, here we go. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Very good. Thank you. You may be seated. Someone has written, I am the Bible. I am God's wonderful library. I am always and above all the truth. To the weary pilgrim, I am a good, strong staff. To the one who sits in black gloom, I am glorious light. To those who stoop beneath heavy burdens, I am sweet rest. To him who has lost his way, I am a safe guide. To those who have been hurt by sin, I am a healing balm. To the discouraged, I whisper a glad message of hope. To those who are distressed by the storms of life, I am an anchor, sure and steadfast. To those who suffer in lonely solitude, I am as a cool, soft hand resting on a fevered brow. O child of man, to best defend me, just use me. Just use me. You know, the Bible is all that the writer described there and even more. The Bible is all that we will ever need. But to experience the Bible and get the most out of it as a believer, I think the writer of that little short pose struck the nail right on the head when he said, just use me. Just use me. If I were to sum up what is being written here in the book of James, I'd sum it up in just those three words. Just use me. One survey found that 27% of all Americans own at least five Bibles. How many of you own at least five Bibles? Can I see your hand? Pretty good percentage. How many of you own more than one? 27% of all Americans own at least five Bibles, yet in a poll in USA Today, it found that only 11% of Americans read the Bible every day. More than half read it less than once a month, or not at all. Even worse, George Barna conducted a survey of born-again Christians and found that only 18%, not quite 2 out of 10, read the Bible every day. And even worse, 23%, not quite 1 in 4 professing Christians say they never read the Bible. 1/4 of born-again Christians admit to never reading the Bible. It's not enough to own a Bible. It's not enough to have it sit on a bookshelf or on a coffee table. If it's going to be effective in your life, you have to use it. You have to read it. You have to study it. So I want to talk today, first about our affection for the Word. Our affections. Let's look at verses 19 through 21. There in James, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." How do we feel about the Bible? This passage speaks about our affection for the Bible that's revealed in our hearing the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, Jesus said, "Take heed how you hear." Beware. Consider how you hear. And then in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, he said, "Take heed what you hear." So he said there's a couple things when it comes to the Word of God you need to take heed about. You need to take heed about how you hear and what you hear. You know, I think there's four different ways that people hear the Bible. Four kinds of hearers. There are those that are kind of like a sponge. They hear the good and the bad, but immediately both drop off. But especially when pressure comes, you know, you squeeze a sponge, its contents squeeze out. Some Christians are like that. They hear, they take in the good and the bad, but they quickly lose both. There are some that are, I guess we could say, like an hourglass. It goes in one ear and out the other. There are other Christians that they hear things, they hear the Word of God. It's like a strainer. They let the good strain through and heed the bad. And then there is the fourth group of people, also like a strainer, who let the bad go through and retain the good. What kind of hearer are you? What kind of hearer are you this morning? Hopefully, we all are able to filter the bad stuff out that we hear and keep that which is good. Notice here that when it comes to hearing of the Word of God, we are to be unlimited in our hearing. We are to be hearers of the Word. We are to avail ourselves of every opportunity to hear the Word of God. And so verse 19 says, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Now, a couple of things we're supposed to have a slow response on. We are to be slow to speak, and we are to be slow to anger, slow to speak. The story is told of, on one occasion, a young man came to Socrates to be trained as an orator. At his first meeting with the great teacher, he talked without stopping. Finally, Socrates had to interrupt him and said, "Young man, I'm going to have to charge you a double fee." "A double fee," the young man exclaimed. "Why do I have to pay double?" Socrates said, "Because I have to teach you two sciences. First, how to hold your tongue, and then second, how to use it." And I think we need to, when we come into the presence of God and we come with our Bibles open, we need to be slow to speak. Slow to speak, listening to what God would have to say to us. But then also slow to wrath. Will Rogers once said, "People who fly into a rage always make a bad landing." That's true. It never does any good to fly off in a rage. But that's really not what this passage is talking about. It's not talking about somebody who's flying off into a rage. It really speaks of something that is smoldering in the heart. You know, sometimes there's bitterness and resentment that's just smoldering in the heart. It hasn't been ignited into a fire yet, but you know that it could be at any moment. And we can't let these things like unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment stay in our heart. Because eventually what happens if we don't extinguish it and we allow it to keep smoldering and smoldering and smoldering, someday it's going to burst into an incredible flame. And the Bible tells us that the wrath of man does not bring the righteousness of God. Our anger does not account for righteous purposes in our life. And so we are to be slow to speak, slow to anger, but we are to be swift to hear, quick to hear. When it comes to hearing, we should be quick to hear the Word of God. Guy King commented on the word swift to hear as eager learners ever listening for the Spirit's voice in the inspired pages. Listen, if all you do is read, is move your bookmark when you read, I got another day here, another chapter or two that I've read, I can move my bookmark. If that's all you do, you're really not reading the Bible. Because when you read the Bible, you are to let God speak to you. This is His Word. He wants to speak to you. He wants to communicate His thoughts, His words, His purposes into your life. And so you need to stay in there and you need to let God speak to you. You know, that doesn't always happen just in a moment's time. It doesn't just happen as you just read through without thinking. You have to be meditating on it. One of the things that I do before I read the Bible every time is I pray and I say, "Oh God, let me behold wondrous things out of your law, out of your word. What is it that you want to teach me today? What word do you have for me today?" And so that's what all of us need to do. We have to hear the word of God. And most likely what James is really talking about here is the public preaching of God's word. We should be swift to hear it. We should avail ourselves of the opportunity to hear God's word being proclaimed. And then we are to be unhindered in our hearing. At verse 21, we see the word wherefore. In light of everything that has been just said, we are to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, there's not only a response on our part, but there is a removal of certain things that needs to take place on our part as well. The words lay apart simply mean to put off. They're descriptive of taking a garment, I'm hot anyway, and taking that garment off and laying it aside. Do you know that there are things from the old man, the old creature? Some of these things need to be taken off and they need to be set aside. They need to be put aside because we won't be able to hear what we need to hear while we still have that old baggage on, while we're still attached to that stuff. Some things we have to get rid of in order to hear, in order to have the needs of our hearing met. So one thing we get rid of is all the defiling sins. In James chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment." Notice the garment of that poor man is called vile raiment, vile garments. The word vile comes from the same word as filthiness in chapter 1 and verse 21. It speaks of that which is dirty. It's descriptive of moral sins. There has to be a removal of things that defile us. In order for us to hear God's word, we have to get rid of the things that are defiling us. We have to get rid of those sins. Because our sins and our iniquities block the voice of God. We cannot hear and respond to it as we should. Interesting to me is doing a little study on that word to find out the word superfluity is the same basic word that's used in Mark chapter 8 and verse 8, where it's used to describe the leftovers that were there when Jesus broke the bread and gave the fish and fed 5,000 people. They picked up these leftovers. A superfluity of naughtiness suggests the idea that we need to get rid of the leftovers in our life. Those things that don't belong in the Christian life, those things that we had, those habits that we had, those besetting sins that we had, before we become Christians, we now need to put those things off and we need to get rid of those leftovers. Take care of them. It's if we want to be swift to hear, if we want to hear God's word, if we want to hear what He has to say to us. Lay apart those things. Notice the word filthiness. It speaks of dirty and defiling, but the word has an even deeper meaning than that. It comes from a compound word which we get their idea of earwax from. So what is he saying? He's saying you need to remove the wax out of your ears. You ever heard that saying? Remove the wax out of your ears so that you can hear what I'm saying. God says the same thing. He originated this saying. He said, get the wax out of your ears because I'm trying to talk to you. I have something important that I want to say to you, and you're not allowing me to get through to you because of the waxed buildup in your ears. So let me sum it up this way. We have to have a great affection for the Word of God. We should love the Word of God and seek to hear it every chance we get. Since it was the book God gave to save us, we should hear it with great affection and allow nothing to hinder us from hearing the Word. Let's look at also the acceptance of the Word. The latter part of verse 21, receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. Notice the welcome that we are to give to the Word. We are to receive it. The idea here is the same as if we would receive someone into our house and allow them to be our guest. Allow us to be their friend. We should allow the Word of God into our life and it becomes a friend to us. It becomes a guide to us. How are we to receive the Word? The word there is with meekness. Word was used to describe a wild animal that had been broken and tamed and now made submissive to its master. That's what God wants to do to us. He wants to give us the Word, and He wants the Word of God to be received with meekness, or in other words, He wants us to receive it in an attitude of submission. Lord, You are my master. You are my Lord. These are Your words to me, and I will submit myself to the authority of these words. I will live by them. The idea is that we are to be submissive to the Word that we hear. It's not just enough to read the Bible. It's not just enough to hear the Bible. It's not just enough to hear unless we submit to what we hear. And then notice that the Word we are to engraft. The engrafted Word. The implanted Word. Now the Word came in when we received Jesus Christ into our Savior, but it is when we submit to it and when we are meek that we allow it to work in our lives. We water it, we fertilize it, so that the seed that was planted there can grow and it can accomplish what God intended for it to accomplish. What did God intend? Look at verse 21. Which is able to save your souls. It's not talking about the sense of getting saved, but it's speaking of the continual work of salvation where God brings about His purposes and His plans for our life as we receive the engrafted Word with meekness. Then it accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish. He fulfills His plans and His purposes in our lives. Somebody has said, as believers, we should not only get into the Bible, but also let the Bible get into us. That's good. We should not only get into the Bible, we should let the Bible get into us. And if the Bible's not getting into us, we're really not getting into the Bible. And then finally, this morning we want to look at our abiding in the Word. Our abiding in the Word. James chapter 1, verse 22 starts out with these words, but be ye. But be ye. Speaking of that which is continual, but be ye. Verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. This is something that is to be going an ongoing action in our life. It is abiding in God's Word. And in verse 22, James speaks of both a doer and a hearer of the Word. He says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now the word doer really speaks more than just what a person does. It's that which characterizes the person. It describes what a person becomes, not just what a person does. Because, you see, if there's one thing about the Bible, if you allow it to, it'll change you. It'll transform you. You'll be a different person. You can always tell those people that are in the Word of God and how it's affecting their lives and how it's working in their lives. And if we are doers of the Word, it will lead to actual results. A person will hear it, will receive it, it will work in their life, and it will bring about certain results in their life. And that's what we want to aim for. You know, the world has so many temporary solutions to problems. So many things that just are temporary, but they don't work, they don't last. They give peace of mind for a while. But let me tell you that the Word of God is not a temporary solution. It is an eternal solution. And God wants to bring about change in your life. Not change that is temporary, but change that is eternal. The doer is set in contrast to the one who is a hearer. The word hear means to audit a class. I remember when I was in Bible college, we had the opportunity to audit classes. That means we could sit in on the class and we could learn whatever the teacher was teaching other people in the class, but we didn't do the work in the class and we got no grade for it. It didn't cost us anything, but we didn't get the credit for the class as well. Do you know that there are some people, I say this really lovingly, you know, I love all of you, but there are some Christians that are just auditing like a Bible class. They're not doing the work that the Bible says they need to do in order to get purpose and fulfillment in life. And so I ask you this morning, are you just auditing the class, or are you doing the work that the teacher is requiring of you to do? You won't get any benefit from it by just auditing it. We are to hear the Word, we are to receive the Word, we are to allow it to work in our lives. Not just attend services and hear it being preached, but not allowing it to work. That's auditing. But then beginning in verse 22, this thought of abiding in the Word, we see a picture that explains abiding. Verses 23 through 25. If any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So here's a person who looks in the mirror. It reveals certain needs in his life. When I stepped in front of the mirror today, I saw that my hair needed to be combed. I saw that my face needed to be shaved. And so I took those actions, hopped in the shower, washed my hair, came out, shaved my face. But if I would have just looked in the mirror and said, yeah, you need a shave, you need to be cleaned up, and went on my way, I'd still be unkempt and unshaven and messy. But the mirror revealed certain things about me that I needed to change. And when we look into the Word of God, it's like a mirror. We look into it, reveals certain things about us that we need to clean up. Things that we need to shave. Things that we need to do. Instead of just going on our merry way and forgetting what it said, we allow it to work and we allow it to change us. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I wonder, how many of you check the mirror just once a day? It's a few of you. How many of you, every time you go in the bathroom, take a look in the mirror? We continue to have the mirror before us. We should continue to have the mirror of God's Word before us. Not being forgetful hearers. The lesson is that God's Word is a mirror that reveals our needs in our life. Things that can only be exposed and revealed sometimes come from the Word. As we continue therein, we respond to what God wants us to respond to. And then finally, we see the promise that encourages abiding. This is the great promise, verse 25. This man shall be blessed in his deed. James says that those who want to be blessed by God, hear His Word, receive His Word, obey His Word, let the Word of God change them, have its way with them. The world-renowned physician, Dr. Howard A. Kelly of Johns Hopkins was once visited by a woman in which the cares of life threatened her physical strength and even her reasoning. Once she described her symptoms, she was surprised at the prescription he gave her. "Madam," he said, "what you need is to read the Bible more." Can you imagine going to the doctor today and having your doctor tell you what you need is you need to read the Bible more? He told her to go home and read her Bible an hour each day and then come back to him in a month. At first, the lady was inclined to become angry with him, but she did what she was told. She was a Christian and had neglected the things of God. When she came back a month later, he said to her, "I see you have been an obedient patient. Do you feel as if you need any other medicine now?" She said, "No, doctor, I am a different person." "But how did you know what I needed?" He reached over and picked up his well-worn and well-marked Bible and said, "If I omit my daily reading of God's Word, I not only lose my joy, but I lose my greatest source of strength and skill. Your case called not for medicine, but for a source of peace and strength outside of yourself. My prescription, when tried, works wonders." Hey, wouldn't that be great? I know that there are times when we need to be on medication, but wouldn't it be great if we could take God's Word and just take it to heart and read it and let it work in its life, our life, what God wants to accomplish, and find that their source of peace and strength is there. Maybe what you have need of today, maybe what you're looking for, the things that seems to be so elusive, or the thing that you once had it but you lost it, maybe it's as simple as getting back into God's Word and reading it on a consistent daily basis. You know, I don't think you can be blessed in life without doing it. I think you'll have problems in life. You'll have problems in your marriage. You'll have problems in your family. You'll have problems in your relationship with God. You'll have problems with your relationships with others that can be solved by just simply getting into the Word of God and reading it on a daily basis. This is not a difficult thing. This is one of the easiest things that we could ever do. And you know, the book of Revelation promises a blessing just to those who read it. And then if we go on and obey it, the blessing is so much greater. And James is talking about here what Jesus was talking about. If you abide in Him and if you abide in His Word, you can be blessed in whatever you do. So we need to take the effort. And maybe this is just a reminder today that we need to get back in the Word. On Bible Sunday, to hold the Bible up again and remind it of the importance of the Bible, which is the book for me and you and for all of us. I came across this story from the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. And it's a story that was written by a man. And so the English is not real good. And some of the sentence structure isn't the greatest. But I thought that instead of changing it and making it sound good, I'd read it in his words. So let me do that to you this morning. "When I was 14 years old, I was studying in a convent school in Pakistan. I belonged to a Muslim family. My parents forced me to learn the Quran by heart when I was 7, and so I did. I had a lot of Christian fellows at school. I was surprised to see them studying, while I always found Christians of low profile in the society. I discussed and argued a lot with them about the accuracy of Quran and rejection of Bible by Allah in Holy Quran. I always forced them to accept Islam. Often my Christian teachers told me not to do so. He said, God may choose you as he chose Apostle Paulus. I asked them, who is Paulus? I know Muhammad only. One day during our discussion, I challenged them to burn the holy books of each other. They should burn the Quran, and I should do the same with the Bible. We agreed. The book which would burn would be false. The book which would not burn has the truth in it. God Himself would save His Word. Unfortunately, they were not ready to do this because they were frightened. Living in an Islamic country and doing such a thing could lead them to face law and meet its consequences. I told them that I could do this by myself. First, I set the Quran on fire. And it got burnt before our eyes. Then I tried to do the same with the Bible. As soon as I tried it, the Bible struck my chest and I fell to the ground. There was smoke all around my body. I was burning, but from a spiritual fire. Suddenly, I saw a man with golden hair wrapped in light on my side. He placed his hand on my head and said to me, "You are my son. And from now on, you will preach the gospel in your nation. Go, your Lord is with you." Then I saw the stone on a grave, which was removed. Maryam Magdalene spoke to the gardener, who probably took the body of my Lord. The gardener was Jesus himself. He kissed the hand of Maryam and I woke up. I felt very strong, as if when someone would strike me, I could not be hurt. I went home and told my parents about all what happened, but they did not believe it. They thought that the Christians got me under magic. But I told them that all this happened before my own eyes and that many people were watching this. They still did not believe, and they turned me out of my house and denied to accept me as their family member. I went to church close to my home. I told the father there about all what happened. I asked him to show me the Bible. He gave me one, and I read about an event of Maryam Magdalene, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. February 17th, 1985. My family denied accepting me. I went to various churches and got more knowledge about the Word of God. I also followed many Bible courses, and then I got a ministry. Now, after 17 years, I have seen many people come to Lord and accepted Jesus as their Savior. Thanks to Lord, now I am married and have a Christian family. Me and my wife are involved in the work of the Lord and able to share the miracles God has been doing in our lives. Even though it is not easy and we face many hardships, we feel like Paul, who went through hardships and suffering for the glory of his Savior, who went himself through suffering during his walk on earth and on the cross. We thank God the Father for sending His Son to this earth and giving us free life through Him. You know what the Bible is? The Bible is not just a collection of essays. It's not just words on a page. The Bible is a living book. The Bible is alive. It can defend itself. Its truth no one will ever be able to successfully debate. These are God's words. Think about that. God's words. The God of all the universe has put His thoughts in His Bible, and He gives them to you and I. He gives them to you and I, not just to read, but to read and put in our heart and let those words abide in our heart so that He, through His Word, can change us and give us purpose in life. And if you place this Word of God where it needs to be placed, on the throne of your life, God's promise to you is that you will be blessed in whatever you do. Now, if that's not motivation for renewing ourselves to get into God's Word, I don't know what is. This Bible Sunday, could you just commit again to the Word of God? And maybe your Bible reading hasn't been as exciting as it once was. Maybe it was kind of stale. Maybe it's just become habit, routine. You just say, Lord, I want to start over. And I'm going to read your word with anticipation. Read it with joy. And it's not long before the spirit, the emotions will catch up with our will. Lord, I will read your word. I will rejoice with your word as one who finds great spoil. And you know, pretty soon you'll be finding great spoil, great treasures. It'll cause you to rejoice. It takes an act of your will sometimes. But when you act it out with your will, pretty soon your emotions will catch up. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands today, but I just want you to think. Think this morning about your time in God's Word. How often is it? How often is it? I am the Bible. I am God's wonderful library. I am always and above all the truth. To the weary pilgrim, I am a good strong staff. To the one who sits in the black gloom, I am glorious light. To those who stoop beneath heavy burdens, I am sweet rest. To him who has lost his way, I am a safe guide. To those who have been hurt by sin, I am a healing balm. To the discouraged, I whisper a glad message of hope. To those who are distressed by the storms of life, I am an anchor sure and steadfast. To those who suffer in lonely solitude, I am as a cool, soft hand resting on a fevered brow. What is it you have need of today? The Bible has the answer to your need. O child of man, to best defend me, just use me. That be your prayer today. God, just use me. Father, you know each heart, each life here today. I pray, Lord, that you would just impress the words of your Holy Spirit, whatever those words might be, to each individual heart and each individual life. But I pray today that everyone who leaves here will have heard your voice, because, Lord, they have come here today. They have taken this opportunity to hear your word. And now, Lord, give them the grace and the strength to be doers of your word and to abide in your word as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, we want to see Jesus, don't we? You'll see him. You'll see him in the pages of his word. He's there.